Hello, welcome to the Two Coffee Teachers Podcast. I'm Josh.
And I am Alex, and we are two young educators who want to contribute to our field. So on this podcast, we talk about education and relevant content that we can apply in our classrooms. It's our hope that this is the podcast that can also encourage educators without needing that second cup of coffee.
If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We're glad to have you. If you're a regular subscriber, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate you guys coming along for this ride with us.
So for today's main topic, we're going to be discussing triggers and controversial topics in our classroom. But before we get to our main conversation, Josh, you said something about playing a little bit of a game.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. So I figured we would do something kind of fun this week, try something new. We talked about playing games when we were kind of vision casting the podcast. So I wanted to try one out with you, and I thought this would be pretty pertinent to you because you're kind of our local policy expert. Aren't you, Alex?
I suppose I self-appointed myself with that title, so...
I would say so. All right, so we're going to play a game called Who Said It? So I did some research earlier today, and I found some quotes pertinent to education, and you're going to have to decide who said it. So I'm going to give you two options.
Okay.
So the two options you have this week are Who Said It? Donald Trump or Barack Obama?
Okay.
So I kind of just went with like the face of the party at this point. So right now when we're recording this, Donald Trump is like the front runner for the Republican Party, and Barack Obama is obviously the face of the Democratic Party.
He's also our president, for those of you who are not aware of that.
Yeah, so if you're listening in 2020 when Kanye says he wants to run for the election, Obama is still president, just in case you're listening back. All right, so are you tracking with the rules?
Yes,
so I'm gonna say a quote that one of these people said about education, and you have to decide if it was Trump that said it or Obama.
All right, let's do this.
All right,
let's rock and roll.
All right, our first one was this person said, "Dropping out of high school is no longer an option. It's not just quitting on yourself; it's quitting on your country." Let me say that again. Dropping out of high school is no longer an option. It's not just quitting on yourself, it's quitting on your country. Was it Donald Trump or Obama?
Especially with the patriotism that's kind of thrown into that last tweet, I'm going to have to go with Trump.
That was Obama.
What?
That was Obama. That was Barack Obama. He was talking about high school dropout rates.
So my thought process was that with Trump, he is very anti-quitting and the true American values of working hard.
Yeah, no, I get that. But
continuing to push on. All right, that was 0 for 1.
All right, 0 for 1. You get, there's 3, okay?
Okay.
All right, that was your third. This one's a little bit longer, so I'll definitely say this one twice. Ready? Trump or Obama? Public education was never meant to only teach the 3 R's, history and science. It was also meant to teach citizenship. At the lower levels, it should cover the basics, help students develop study habits, and prepare those who desire higher education for the tough road ahead. It's a mandate the public schools have delivered on since their inception. Again, Donald Trump or Obama? You want me to say it again?
Or
you
got it? I got it. That's definitely Obama.
That was Donald Trump.
All right.
That was Donald Trump. So I think it's hard because it's taken a little bit out of context, but it's interesting, right? When you that's what he said about education. Now he did say after that the next sentence was until now.
Until now.
Until now.
Okay. Well, I think that is the key point.
That would have been the dead Trump giveaway, I think.
All right.
Until now.
Hey, if I hit 1 for 3, that's still a Hall of Fame batting average. So let's see if I can get this last one.
All right, last one. Ready? Donald Trump or Barack Obama said this about education. I've had a lot of discussions with teachers, and they feel betrayed and frustrated by No Child Left Behind. We shouldn't reauthorize it without changing it fundamentally. We left the money behind for No Child Left Behind.
Obama.
That was Obama. There he is. 1 for 3.
All right, this is where we need to get our awesome little ringtones in once we continue to adapt our editing software.
Yeah, we got to get
ding, 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 ding.
All right, 1 for 3. You're right. That's still a Hall of Fame.
Can you read that quote again for our listeners just so we can talk about that real quick before we get into triggers?
That last one?
Yeah.
I've had a lot of discussions with teachers, and they feel betrayed and frustrated by No Child Left Behind. We shouldn't reauthorize it without changing it fundamentally. We left the money behind for No Child Left Behind. So the issue he's kind of talking about is that what a lot of people have noticed in education, that No Child Left Behind was a bit underfunded mm-hmm. for where we wanted it to go.
Mm-hmm. And I think at least with what Obama's trying to do for whenever the final reauthorization goes through Congress, he definitely wants to focus on the skills, right?
And, right.
We saw that. I think that's a general theme between both political figures right now. But I think a lot of people in policy really want to see a shift in focus away from the standardized testing and more of an ability to assess skills and applicable knowledge and things that can help students that once they leave their secondary education, whether they go into the workforce, they join the military, they go on to higher education, it's really important that they get skills that are going to help them succeed in that specific job or just help them become a relevant citizen in our society.
Absolutely. And I think even if we're going to talk about these quotes, even the second quote kind of dealt with that as well, that Trump's kind of asserting that citizenship is really important to teach as well. What are the skills we're going to need to be valuable citizens, right? And we also talked about that last episode when we talked about performance assessments. So if you haven't heard that episode, take the time now, maybe go back and listen to the first episode before this about performance assessments. We definitely hit on it there a lot on that episode.
Mm-hmm. So that was a fun little game, all right? So just so we know, Mr. Parker is a Hall of Fame question, tweet, reader, quote, guesser.
None of those were tweets. Those were all quotes that I stole. Maybe I'll do tweets next time, and maybe that'll be a little easier because they're only 140 characters. The second one was a little longer.
All right, so you ready to rock and roll with this?
Yeah, man.
Trigger conversation.
Let's rock and roll.
You were telling me earlier that you had one thing that really stuck out with you in terms of introducing this topic to our listeners. So why don't you go ahead and share that with everyone?
Absolutely. So I think one of the things that we really value in education but is really hard to focus on in education is the whole child, right? We want to provide a safe environment for the students where they can feel comfortable learning and they can feel comfortable expressing themselves, which is hard sometimes to do when we have pacing guides and we want to get through things. Right, but this is important to students as they're growing and maturing. And
I think to add on to your point with growing and maturing is that a lot of growth and maturing and intellectual development happens, and social development too, happens when a student is exposed to a wide variety of content or life experiences too.
Sure, absolutely. That being said, though, we have to be aware that a lot of our students have gone through life experiences that may have traumatized them or made them a victim of something. So I really want to stress some statistics real quick as a preface to our conversation. Today, in America, approximately 70% of adults have experienced a traumatic event in their life.
So by what we have talked about during the show, a traumatic event, that would pretty much can be considered an assault of any sort, whether it be a physical assault, a sexual assault, verbal assault.
Witnessing a homicide?
Rape?
Yeah, any of those things. Yeah, any of those serious things that impact you, right? That's about 8% of the adult population of America have witnessed... I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. 70% of American adults have experienced a traumatic event, and about 20% of those people develop post-traumatic stress disorder, which is PTSD. So that's about 8% of Americans at any given time, and 8% of adult Americans have PTSD, which is a lot, mm-hmm. right? That's a lot of people. Okay. Women are sometimes more likely to develop PTSD. Teens and children, which is more prevalent to what we talk about, right? As teens and children, they're significantly likely to experience a traumatic event. Girls, 15 to 43% likely. and boys 14 to 43% likely to experience a traumatic event. Now, that doesn't mean that that is going to cause PTSD in all cases, mm-hmm. but our students at this point in life, before they sit in our classrooms, have likely experienced a traumatic event or going to experience a traumatic event that's going to affect them later in life.
Yeah, so I think it's fair for us to say that to support those statistics, in all likelihood, someone is going to have some sort of life experience that could haunt them at a point later in their life. Or while it could be helpful, it could also be quite devastating to them.
Absolutely.
So as for all of our listeners out there, whether you are someone who is a boss, an employee, a family member, or for all of our future teachers out there, or current educators, how does this affect you, or how does this affect us? And how is that going to play a role in managing people?
So what I think is important is what a lot of the we're going to talk about today is the role of information and how do we present that information to students, right? So we deal a lot with education, but in the real world, right, maybe if you're a boss, how do you present information that may be sensitive to your audience, whatever your audience is, whether you're in the classroom or outside of the classroom? And recently, in the past several years, there's been this big conversation going on about triggers. That's kind of the buzzword, is triggers, right? So if it's okay with you, I want to go kind of into where that kind of came from, where this issue started, and maybe see where it affects to kind of answer your question.
Let's do this.
Okay, so trigger warnings kind of came about. It really started buzzing around on the internet within the past few years. It was particularly evident in higher education, which we don't cover quite so much as K-12. We definitely focus more on K-12. But there was a college called Oberlin's College that started a policy where professors needed to preface on their syllabi if there was an instance that a student needed to be aware of. They needed to provide a trigger warning of something that might trigger PTSD in a student.
And before you go on real quick, just want to, for those of you that are not familiar with Oberlin College, actually my grandfather was a graduate from there. He did his undergrad work there many years ago. But Oberlin is considered by many to be one of the most liberal colleges and liberal arts schools in the entire nation.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware of that.
So
I didn't know that.
That might be something to keep in mind as you're explaining this policy.
Sure.
But please continue.
So an example of some of these trigger topics that these professors were required to preface were if there was anything in their course that dealt with, there were examples of racism, sexism, right? Things like that, or maybe even other issues of privilege and oppression. Okay, so maybe an example of this would be, have you ever read the book Things Fall Apart?
No, I have not.
Okay, it's a classic. I think I read it in high school. Okay, but there are some experiences in there that deal with colonialism and religious persecution. That would be an example in K-12 that if there was a trigger warnings involved in that course, there would be kind of like a label that says, be aware that there are these issues being covered in this text in case this is something that you've been traumatized by. Does that make sense? Okay, so that's where this started. The colleges, they've revoked that policy. They've taken it back. But it does present an issue of how do we address sensitive issues in the classroom, especially for students, if we're worried about the whole child. How do we address that issue that student is dealing with while still covering the appropriate curriculum and diving into that?
So I think the first, as teachers or as people that are managing groups of individuals, I think one of the first points that we need to address ourselves as the facilitators is this controversial or is this topic that might be emotionally harmful to someone? Is it worth covering? Is the cost, like the opportunity cost, is it worth it to cover in class? And then we also need to make a decision on whether or not covering in class could have a positive impact on the growth of all of our students.
Sure. So I think you hit on like the opportunity cost point really well. The problem is that we want to discuss these topics because they're important. they're important to our real world. The real world doesn't come with a warning label that tells you what's coming,
mm-hmm.
right? And our students will have to wrestle with a lot of these issues that we talk about. At the same time, we want to be sensitive to the issues of our students. We don't want to be talking about something that a student... So if a student has gone through a sexual assault, and we talk candidly about sexual assault that we're reading in a novel, observing in history, anything like that, we don't want that student to feel so uncomfortable they can't participate. They don't learn, right? If we put them in that situation, we're not helping them at all. We're not helping them grow at all either. Do you see what I'm saying? So that's where we have to wonder, is that where that line is with trigger warnings? Do we place trigger warnings in these classrooms to warn students of that, or do we just let them take it as they come, like the real world does? I don't know. How do you feel about that?
So my particular take is on this, and this might not be the popular opinion, but I think it's very important that these students are able... I think students are able to grow. I believe that students can grow and people can grow if they're able to face their fears or tackle adversity, right?
Sure. So, yeah.
Of course, there are traumatic events that I cannot, thankfully, I've been able to go through my 22 years of life without experiencing something so haunting or harmful or mentally disturbing that anytime something's brought up in the news, on the radio, in class, that I cannot function or I fall apart. That's something that not many people can say at this point in time, which is very lucky for me. With that being said, I think it's also important that if an individual has something that's struggling, the ability to talk about it or even share those experiences can be very helpful in allowing them or aiding them to be able to move on from that emotional event.
Sure, but if a student is raped, is it the appropriate time to have that conversation when we're talking about that in a literary context?
Well, then this is...
That's the difficulty.
Yeah, that's
so do
the
we,
difficult question that we have to
so
determine.
Then, so if it is, let's assume it is. Let's assume that's not the right time to have that conversation. People are worried that we're going to start censoring different parts of the curriculum, right? That we're going to start censoring things. We're going to put a big label on there that says you have to be aware of this. This is coming, right? But think about, like... I was doing some reading in preparation for this podcast, and I read across an example that The Guardian did. The Guardian is a news source that they did when talking about this issue. Have you ever read The Giver?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Very little book. They made it into a movie recently. It's a really good book for like exploring different issues.
A lot of us, The Giver, excuse me, that's a very common novel that a lot of students see usually in the 7th to 9th grade range.
Yeah, something in that. Something curriculum. In middle school, something in early high school, right? So there's some... In that book, right, that little book, the characters live in a utopian society, right? But as you read, you start to realize that it's not a perfect world and they have to wrestle with various issues, okay? One of the things they have to wrestle with in that book is pain. That pain sometimes is good, right? Pain in a society can be helpful, and that's something that art does, as the Guardian, the source particularly pointed out, is that sometimes art is good for us to learn and be able to express and experience and interpret our feelings about things, right? In the book, they don't have that. In the movie, if you watch it, it's all black and white, and as the giver bestows the thoughts and ideas to the next giver, I'm sorry, I don't remember the characters' names, right? He starts to experience pain. He starts to see the world in a better way. So we might be doing a disservice to that exploration of these ideas if we censor these ideas for the sake of safety for these students. So if we're doing, because we want to have that, the students kind of come to that conclusion on their own, right? We want students to come to that idea on their own without us telling them. We want students to explore, right? We want students to interact with the content, right? So I guess the issue we have to decide on is we want them to explore without censoring something. What do we do? And without putting like a big label at the top of our syllabi, what do we do to make our students aware of these issues?
Well, I think first off, in terms of your point about making students aware of these issues, I think it first off, when you're in a classroom or when you're doing your training for your set of employees very early on in that experience, it's really important that you get to know the people that you're in charge of, right?
Great.
So if a teacher doesn't do a good job, or if a boss doesn't do a good job of getting to know the people underneath them, mm-hmm. then they're going to have a hard time collaborating or making the most out of each individual's potential, right?
Yeah.
So if teachers and if bosses are able to create those connections and develop and establish those relationships early on in the experience, then it's going to make the entire environment a lot more accepting and a lot more, there's going to be a lot more communication going on in that too.
Absolutely.
So if a teacher is able to establish that safe and comfortable classroom environment early on in the year,
right,
then it's going to be a little bit easier for when a controversial topic pops up,
Or a sensitive topic pops up.
If a student's uncomfortable, then they're going to be able to remove themselves from that situation without there being a confrontation between the teacher and the student, where there's going to be an issue and the student's going to get embarrassed, or other individuals are going to be questioning what's going on. There's not going to be a scene,
right?
We want to avoid that a lot. But I think that it's important, not necessarily maybe prefacing an entire unit or an entire curriculum or putting on top of your syllabus, hey everyone, we're going to cover some stuff that might offend you, or hey everyone,
right,
we're going to talk about something that might trigger something bad that's happened in your life. But I think it is important to maybe, and when you're developing pre-assessments, or when you are prefacing a lesson, or you're giving them any homework, hey, we're going to be talking about this big idea, right? And
right,
here are some things that we might see within that big idea. If there's something that might be uncomfortable for you, let me know. We can remove you from that, or you can excuse yourself from that activity. Or if you see, like, if they have that sign, or that they might be able to foreshadow that something's going to come up that might bring up a recollection, then the student can either prepare themselves to take it on, or if they just don't envision themselves making it through whatever's going on that day, they can just remove themselves from that activity.
Sure. So I think the first very practical step is acknowledging that we're not going to have trigger warnings for everything.
Right.
We're not going to put a label on the front of books or the beginning of units that kind of describe that we're going to be covering these sensitive issues ahead of time. Because we do want students to explore and come to their own conclusions.
Yeah.
Right? That being said, the second step, applicable step, is that we have to create a safe classroom environment to have these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So sorry to interrupt. A lot of times, especially with the triggers, it's not necessarily the actual topic. So for example, if we're talking about a sexual assault and intertwined with some piece of context, it might not be the actual word sexual assault or that theme that brings up the trigger. A lot of times it's the insensitivity or the just the lack of awareness or poor judgment of some of the other peers that can further incite the person.
Absolutely.
Who had that experience. So if we're having a classroom conversation about sexual assault, and we have a student that has been through that, and we have other students that are saying very ignorant or misinformed comments about it, that's probably what's going to upset the individual a little bit more than the actual conversation about it.
Absolutely. I think you hit on two really important things with that. First of all, I think it's incredibly rare, unlikely, not going to happen, that something that we do in class is going to actually cause the trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? We're acknowledging that the trauma is already there. What we're trying to prevent is we don't want something that we go through to trigger, hence the phrase trigger warnings, trigger an emotion for students who struggle with PTSD who have gone through a traumatic event. Okay? So that's an important thing. And you're right. We do have to set the standard. We do have to set where we want students to behave in regards to these issues. I think you're hitting on maybe the next practical step. So we talk about not censoring things, right? We talked about setting up a safe, appropriate classroom environment. I think the next step is not to provide warnings, but to provide a context for things that are about to happen, right? So think of, I think in a very history, social studies way, right? If I'm putting on a video, a slide, like a PowerPoint presentation that deals with sensitive issues in World War II, right? If we're going to talk about something maybe like the Holocaust, that's something that students need to know about, right? We can't be like some people in the world who want to say that
some
didn't
happen,
right? Not saying who.
Looking at you, Turkey.
That it didn't happen, right? That's important. That's why we do study history. So we do have to address that, but maybe we provide maybe an explanation, say, hey, there's going to be some images on here that I think are really valuable for us to know and understand about and explore. If this makes you uncomfortable, go ahead, put your head on your desk for a few minutes, okay? Just go ahead and put your head on your desk. Don't make a big deal out of it. You don't want them to feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. right, for something that may cause them, but may cause them, you know, to be anxious or anxiety or to recall a lot of these things. But we do want to put it in the context for the situation. Do you see where I'm going with
yeah,
that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So we almost want to use trigger warnings in our classroom, but I don't like calling them that because of the connotation. We want to place warnings where if we know a student has gone through something, we want to say, hey, just a heads up, we're going to be exploring this in the next couple minutes on a video and a slides. We're going to be talking about it. If this makes you uncomfortable, and you as a teacher hopefully are already aware of those things.
Yeah.
But it's good that if you're not, that you preface, mm-hmm. that you allude.
I think ultimately the biggest takeaway from this conversation is that in life and in the classroom and just with learning in general, you're going to come across things that are going to make you upset or that are going to make you uncomfortable.
Or they're going to challenge you.
Or they're going to challenge you, exactly. And ultimately, an individual can have a choice to remove themselves from that situation. But I think it's unfair to all of our students if we take away that opportunity to grow. Yeah. If a student or if an individual genuinely cannot function because some sort of thing that we're talking about is hindering them,
mm-hmm.
then by all means, make sure that they are safe and comfortable and they are removed from that situation.
Right, absolutely.
But I think we would be doing a disservice if we take away that potential for them to grow.
Right.
And if we take away the learning opportunities for the other students that have not had those experiences.
Right. And I don't think it's insensitive to those students to not put trigger warnings in our classes or on our syllabi, right? I don't think that's being insensitive. That's dealing with the whole class as a whole, right? But we do have to provide these environments and these situations and these awareness that if students do feel uncomfortable with something, they should be able to express that to remove themselves that they feel comfortable without removing the challenge or the exploration of the content that we may be delivering
Absolutely.
In our classes.
Well, I really appreciated that conversation about triggers and about sensitive issues too. I think hopefully this conversation will allow all of our listeners to take a few moments just to think about what they can do to help or challenge other people that have gone through sensitive scenarios in their lives.
Yeah, and maybe this will prompt teachers to think, hey, what in my curriculum could be a sensitive issue that a student may be having an issue with that I can say isolate and say that may be a point where a student who struggles with PTSD, maybe they need to be made aware of those kinds of issues. All right, hey, and awareness is a big part of it, right? Awareness is very important. So I really enjoyed having this conversation too. I think it's very important, and I'm glad we got to share it with our listeners. We would love it if you would continue the conversation on social media. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast today. We want to continue that conversation. We have a few avenues to do that. We have the Facebook group called Two Coffee Teachers. You can also follow us on Twitter at Two Coffee Teachers, @2CoffeeTeachers. You can also leave us a voicemail with your opinion on this episode, how you felt, some insight, or questions that you have for Alex and I at our voicemail box. That phone number is 443-300-8908. 443-389-08.
And our final big push for y'all would be if you all could help us and rate us on iTunes. That would be huge in helping us gain a little bit of popularity through the Apple and iTunes venue. It's also the best way to put it out there to other people who might be interested in what we're doing and helping grow our community, so we can have these conversations with a little bit more input from our listeners and really grow the conversation, so we can bring in multiple perspectives.
We don't want to limit the conversation to just us. We want to share it. We want to continue that with as many people who are willing to participate.
Thank you so much for being a part of the Two Coffee Teachers podcast. Keep up the hard work in the classroom or in your jobs, and be sure to stay away from that second cup of coffee.
Bye, guys. I can see the sweet sun pouring down in the strawberry sky. Tall grass dancing down by the St. John's Riverside. And I can see Maggie running through the fields full of wild.